Three black spheres form the head and ears of a Mickey Mouse symbol. Disney Videos.
Against a blue background, a pale blue fairy castle appears. A glowing white star shoots over the castle, leaving a long, curving trail, the logo of Walt Disney Pictures. Up in the misty sky, three pure white seagulls are flying through billowing, heavy grey clouds. Far below, the ocean sparkles. Three sleek grey dolphins speed through the water, leaping over the rolling waves. The dolphins swerve to a halt. A seagull swoops down and floats on the water between them. Out of the mist, a massive ship appears with huge square sails, portholes and planking and high wooden turrets and torrents of foam in its wake. The dolphins and gull leap out of its way and see men on board, rigging sails and hauling up a bulging net of fish.
I'll tell you a tale of the bottom was blue and its hay to the starboard heave-ho. Look up, lad, a mermaid be waiting for you in mysterious fathoms below.
Isn't this great? The salty sea air, the wind blowing in your face.
A young man with his dog.
Perfect day to be at sea.
No, delightful.
His servant.
A fine strong wind and a following sea. King Triton must be in a friendly type mood.
King Triton?
Why, ruler of the mer people, lad. Thought every good sailor knew about him.
Mer people. Eric, pay no attention to this nautical nonsense.
But it ain't nonsense, it's the truth. I'm telling you, down in the depths of the ocean, they live on
A pink fish slips out of the sailor's grasp, flaps against the servant's face and flops over the side, plunging into the water. A lucky escape. With a flutter of its tail, the plump pink fish speeds off, down into the ocean depths, zigzagging through forests of seaweed. Brightly coloured sea flowers hide away as it passes and cautiously reappear. On and on it swims, through shoals of stripy orange angelfish, past ghostly billowing tentacles of giant jellyfish. Walt Disney Pictures presents The Little Mermaid, produced in association with Silver Screen Partners. The fish goes deeper, down among craggy rocks, alongside a family of gentle whales, past the big watchful eye of the biggest whale and out into a vast blue underwater space, lit dimly from the upper world by the ever so distant sun. A man swims past with a flowing fishtail instead of legs. A merman. Alongside him swims a mermaid and a merchild, tail fins flapping. There's another and another, a whole line of mer people gliding through the water, under a stone arch and up through a tunnel towards a blinding light. A golden palace of tall towers and bright lights shimmering in a blue expanse. Mer people crowd in from all directions, along a swimway through a high, narrow entrance, and take their places among hundreds of others in a cavernous hall facing a big stage, on which upright fish with trumpet snouts line up. A seahorse with a ruff floats on behind them.
His Royal Highness, King Triton!
Three dolphins pull a seashell chariot. The king has flowing white hair and wears a golden crown. Sweeping past a chandelier, he lights it with his glowing trident. Silver sparkles shower the crowd.
And presenting the distinguished court composer, Horatio Thelonious Ignatius Crustaceous Sebastian!
He's a tiny red crab pulled in by two big goldfish, jerkily.
I'm really looking forward to this performance, Sebastian.
Your Majesty, this will be the finest concert I have ever conducted. Your daughters, they will be spectacular.
Yes, and especially my little Ariel.
Yes, yes. She has the most beautiful voice.
If only she'd show up for rehearsals once in a while.
The goldfish pulls Sebastian's snail shell chariot to an oyster music stand. He drops the reins, adjusts his crab suit, and hauls from the snail shell a big scroll of music and plonks it on the stand. His bug eyes peer over the edge. He taps his baton. The fishy orchestra strikes up. A curtain of bubbles parts, revealing three clamshells, two mermaids in each.
We are the daughters of Triton. Great father who loves us and named us well. Aquata. Andrina. Arista. Athena. Adela. Anana. Youngest in her musical debut. Our second little sister, we're presenting her to you. To sing a song Sebastian wrote, her voice is like a bell. She's our sister, Ariel.
Her clamshell's empty.
Ariel?
Elsewhere in the ocean, a young mermaid with red hair and ruby lips is staring at something.
Ariel, wait for me.
Flounder, hurry up.
A chubby little blue and yellow fish swims up to join her.
No, I can't swim that fast.
There it is.
The wreck of a ship dappled by watery sunlight.
Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, sure, it's great. Let's get out of here.
Oh, you're not getting cold fins now, are you?
Me? No way. It's just, it looks damp in there. Yeah, and yeah, I think I may be coming down with something.
They've swum to the ship.
Yeah, I got this cough.
All right, I'm going inside. You can just stay here and watch for sharks.
Okay. Yeah, you go. I'll stand.
What? Sharks? Ariel?
Ariel. I can't. I mean, Ariel, help!
He's stuck in the porthole.
Oh, Flounder.
Ariel, do you really think there might be sharks around here?
Flounder, don't be such a guppy.
I'm not a guppy.
She pulls him into the spooky ship.
This is great. I mean, I really love this. Excitement, adventure, danger lurking around every corner.
A skeleton!
Ariel!
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, sure. No problem. I'm okay.
Shh.
She swims through a hole in the ceiling. Flounder follows. On the next floor up, something glints by a window. It's a fork.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Have you ever seen anything so wonderful in your entire life?
Wow, cool. But, what is it?
She pops it in her bag.
I don't know, but I bet Scuttle will.
What was that?
Shadow of a shark.
Did you hear something?
She picks up a pipe.
I wonder what this one is.
Ariel?
Flounder, will you relax? Nothing is going to happen.
Red eyes at the window, open mouth, big teeth. The shark's inside and chasing them. They swim out of its way and up the stairs, but the shark is waiting. It follows them, crunching up the floorboards. Ariel drops her bag with a fork in it. She goes back to get it, just missing the shark. It chews up the floor and smashes through the ceiling. They dive away towards the porthole. Flounder gets stuck. Ariel pushes him through and follows. They speed away, shark just behind them, spiraling up around the mast. Flounder hits it, goes cross-eyed. Shark hits it. Flounder spirals downward, stunned. Ariel dives down and through an anchor's hoop to catch him. She drags Flounder away and shark plunges towards them. Shark hits the anchor and stops, head stuck fast in the hoop. Flounder swims up to the helpless shark.
You big bully!
Flounder, you really are a guppy.
I am not!
On the surface, an old seagull basks on his rocky nest, looking through the wrong end of a telescope.
Whoa! Mermaid off the port bow! Ariel, how you doing, kid?
Whoa, what a swim.
Scuttle, look what we found.
Yeah, we're in this sunken ship, and it was really creepy.
Human stuff, huh? Hey, let me see.
He throws an anchor from his nest, plummets after it, steps on Flounder to get Ariel's bag of treasures.
Oh.
He pulls out the fork.
Look at this. Wow. This is special. This is very, very unusual.
What? What is it?
It's a dingle hopper. Humans use these little babies to straighten their hair out. See, just a little twirl here and a yank down, boy, Ole. Yeah, I got an aesthetically pleasing configuration of hair that humans go nuts over.
A dingle hopper. What about that one?
Ah. This.
The pipe.
I haven't seen in years. This is wonderful. A banded, bulbous snarflat.
Oh.
Now, the snarflat dates back to prehistorical times when humans used to sit around and stare at each other all day. Got very boring. So, they invented this snarflat to make fine music. Allow me.
Music!
It's stuff!
Oh, the concert! Oh, my gosh, my father's gonna kill me!
The concert was today?
Maybe you can make a little planner out of it or something.
I'm sorry. I've gotta go. Thank you, Scuttle!
Anytime, sweetie! Anytime.
Ariel and Flounder slip underwater and speed away past an outcrop of rock. Two sinister eels watch them go. The reflection of Ariel and Flounder in their yellow glinting eyes is magically transmitted to a bubble in a cave watched by a tentacled witch.
Yes, hurry home, princess. We wouldn't want to miss old Daddy's celebration, now would we? Ha! Celebration indeed. Oh, bah! In my day, we had fantastical feasts when I lived. In the palace.
She swallows a terrified sea creature.
And now look at me, wasted away to practically nothing. Banished and exiled and practically starving, while he and his flimsy fish folk celebrate. Well, I'll give them something to celebrate soon enough. Flotsam! Jetsam!
The yellow-eyed eels.
I want you to keep an extra close watch on this pretty little daughter of his. She may be the key to Triton's undoing.
The witch's tentacles curl round her as she smiles. Back in Triton's palace.
I just don't know what we're going to do with you, young lady.
Daddy, I'm sorry. I just forgot.
As a result of your careless behavior...
Careless and reckless behavior.
The entire celebration was...
Well, it was ruined. That's all. Completely destroyed. This concert was to be the pinnacle of my distinguished career. No thanks to you, I am the laughingstock of the entire kingdom.
But it wasn't her fault. First, the shark chases. Yeah, and we tried it, but we couldn't. And then we were safe. But then the seagull came, and it was this is this, and that is that. And...
Seagull? What? Oh, you went up to the surface again, didn't you? Didn't you?
Nothing happened.
Oh, Ariel, how many times must we go through this? You could have been seen by one of those barbarians, by one of those humans.
Daddy, they're not barbarians.
They're dangerous. Do you think I want to see my youngest daughter snared by some fish eater's hook?
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady. Well, as long as you live under my ocean, you'll obey my rule.
But if you would just listen.
Not another word. And I am never, never to hear of you going to the surface again. Is that clear?
Ariel's lower lip quivers. She turns and swims off, Flounder following. Triton looks despondent.
Teenagers. They think they know everything. You give them an inch, they swim all over you.
Do you think I was too hard on her?
Definitely not. Why, if Ariel was my daughter, I'd show her who was boss. None of this flitting to the surface and all of such nonsense. No, sir, I'd keep her under tight control.
You're absolutely right, Sebastian.
Of course.
Ariel needs constant supervision.
Constant.
Someone to watch over her, to keep her out of trouble.
All the time.
And you are just the crab to do it.
Sinking into his shell, Sebastian scuttles away.
How do I get myself into these situations? I should be writing symphonies. Not tagging along after some headstrong teenager.
He catches sight of Flounder handing a bag to Ariel. They look left and right, then swim off.
Mm-hmm. What is that girl up to?
He paddles off after them, but they are much swifter. It's difficult to keep up. Ariel heaves away a big stone, blocking the entrance to a cavern. She and Flounder slip inside. Sebastian dives after them. The stone falls back and traps a claw. He struggles to get free. He grabs a piece of seaweed and pulls with all his might. He catapults away into a huge hourglass. Rubbing his sore head, he sees vases, plates, candlesticks, a vast pile of treasures gathered from shipwrecks, and Ariel staring sadly at her fork.
Ariel, are you okay? If only I could make him understand. I just don't see things the way he does. I don't see how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad.
Sebastian listens, frowning.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's its and what's its galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a, what's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of these waters? What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? Betcha on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Bright young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand and ready to know what the people know. Ask them my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and why does it, what's the word, burn? When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love, love to explore that shore above? Out of the sea. Oh, wish I could be part of that world.
Ariel and Flounder look up wistfully towards the surface. Meanwhile, Sebastian falls from a beer pot onto a jack-in-a-box. He's under a cup with a pipe in his mouth, sitting on a concertina. He jumps free.
Ariel, what are you? How could you? What is all this?
It's just my collection.
Oh, I see. Your collection. If your father knew about this place,
he... You're not going to tell him, are you?
Oh, please, Sebastian. He would never understand.
Ariel, you're under a lot of pressure down here. Come with me. I'll take you home and get you something warm to drink.
What do you suppose?
A shadow overhead.
Ariel?
She dives away out of the cavern.
Ariel!
A huge ship is passing overhead, surrounded by strange colored light bursts. At the surface, she sees the ship silhouetted by a full bright moon and fireworks exploding all round. Flounder and Sebastian reach the surface.
Ariel, what are you?
He sees the fireworks.
You big jellyfish!
Entranced, Ariel dives off towards the ship.
Ariel! Ariel! Please, come back!
Ariel climbs the ship's ladder to peer through an opening on the deck and sees sailors clapping and dancing and playing instruments. A shaggy grey and white dog jumps playfully among them. The sailors wear blue and white striped shirts, revealing big muscled arms. Ariel, hidden from view, smiles in wide-eyed amazement. The shaggy dog barks at their jigging feet, then suddenly stops and sniffs the air. His round black nose sniffs the deck and picks up a scent. He's coming her way, she pulls back in fright. Plucking up courage, she has another peek and comes face to face with the dog who licks her cheek.
Max! Here, boy!
Max lollops off, Ariel peers in and rubs her wet cheek. Max is jumping up at a laughing, dark-haired young man.
Hey, come on, mutt. What you doing, huh, Max?
He wears a white shirt.
Come on, Max.
Max licks his cheek.
Good boy, good boy.
The young man strokes the dog. Ariel stares at him, then blinks and smiles, spellbound.
Hey there, sweetie! Quite a show, eh?
Scott, I'll be quiet. They'll hear you.
Ooh, I gotcha, I gotcha. We're being intrepidacious. We're out to discover!
She grabs his beak.
I've never seen a human this close before.
He's playing a pipe to the dog.
Oh.
She leans on the deck, gazing.
He's very handsome, isn't he?
A
don't know. He looks kind of hairy and slobbery to me.
Not that one. One playing the snarf blast.
Silence! Silence!
The aristocratic servant.
It is now my honor and privilege to present our esteemed Prince Eric with a very special, very expensive, very large birthday present.
Ah, Grimsby. You old beanpole, you shouldn't have.
Eric slaps him on the back.
I know. Happy birthday, Eric.
It's a large statue of the prince.
Gee, Grim. It's really something.
Yes, I commissioned it myself. Of course, I had hoped it would be a wedding present.
Oh, come on, Grim, don't start. Look, you're not still sore because I didn't fall for the Princess of Glowerhaven, are you?
He sits on the rail above Ariel's hiding place.
Oh, Eric, it isn't me alone. The entire kingdom wants to see you happily settled down with the right girl.
Oh, she's out there somewhere.
In the shadows, Ariel listens very carefully.
I just haven't found her yet.
And smiles.
Well, perhaps you haven't been looking hard enough.
Oh, believe me, Grim, when I find her, I'll know. Without a doubt, it'll just, bam, hit me. Like lightning.
Lightning flashes on the sea behind him. Sails billow in the wind. Rain starts falling.
Hurricane coming!
The ship rolls.
And fast! Secure the rigging!
The sailors leap into action. Eric picks a rope from the deck. The storm buffets the ship. Lightning flashes. Rain pelts down. Eric heaves on his rope. Men haul at flapping sails high above. Max runs this way and that. A huge wave submerges Sebastian and Flounder.
Whoa, the wind's all of a sudden on a move here!
Scuttle is hurled skywards. A sailor at the wheel loses grip. The ship spins out of control, tossed by the waves which crash on the deck, scattering sailors like skittles. Eric runs to the wheel and grabs hold. Desperate to stay with the ship, Ariel hangs onto the rigging, but is blown away by a gust of wind and plummets into the water. She swims right under the belly of the ship, emerging at the stern to see lightning strike a sail. It bursts into bright yellow flames. She rears back in horror. The ship is heading straight for the rocks. Eric at the wheel sees the danger. The sailors run in panic, but too late. The ship hits the rocks. Eric and the sailors are flung into the sea. Eric's statue sinks beneath the waves. Grimsby struggles to stay afloat.
Grim, hang on!
Eric's in a dinghy. He hauls Grimsby in. Max is still on the ship.
Max!
Eric dives back to the ship and scales the side. Bits of burning sail drop around him. When he jumps on deck, the mast gives way. He leaps to avoid it. Flames spread towards the gunpowder store.
Jump, Max! Come on, boy, jump! You can do it, Max!
Max leaps. Eric catches him. As he runs to the railing, a plank gives way. He tosses Max overboard. Eric's caught in the planking. Out at sea, Grimsby pulls Max into the dinghy.
Eric!
Flames reach the gunpowder. The ship's a ball of orange flame and smoke. Grimsby and the others freeze in horror. But Ariel plunges forward, searching desperately among the floating wreckage of barrels, boxes, strands of rope. She sees him clinging to a broken plank. He's lost his grip. He's sinking through the water. She dives after him, grabs him from behind and heaves him to the surface. Fireworks from the burning ship explode around them as she pulls him towards the rocky shore, keeping his head above water. Later, on the sand, her green tail alongside his splayed legs, she peers at his closed eyes. Scuttle lands close by.
Is he...
He lifts Eric's eyelid.
Dead?
And peers in.
It's hard to say.
He lifts one of the prince's bare feet and slaps his ear to it. He listens, frowning.
Oh, I can't make out a heartbeat.
No, look! He's breathing.
She tenderly moves a lock of hair from his forehead.
He's so beautiful.
And strokes his cheek.
What would I give to live where you are? What would I pay to stay here beside you? What would I do to see you smiling at me? Where would we walk? Where would we run? If we could stay all day in the sun, just you and me, and I could be part of your world.
He smiles groggily and looks at her. Max bounds up, licks his master's face. She slips away.
Eric!
Oh, you really delight in these Sadistic strains on my blood pressure, don't you?
He helps Eric to his feet.
A girl rescued me. She was singing. She had the most beautiful voice.
He totters. Grimsby holds him.
Eric, I think you've swallowed a bit too much seawater.
Off we go.
Sebastian watches from the rocks.
We just gonna forget this whole thing ever happened. The Sea King will never know. You won't tell him. I won't tell him. I will stay in one piece.
I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see. Someday I'll be part of your world.
Defiantly, she lifts herself up on the rock to watch her prince being helped away along the sands. But two black shapes, Flotsam and Jetsam, are watching her, and what they see appears in the witch's magic bubble.
Oh, no, 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 no. I can't stand it. It's too easy. The child is in love with a human, and not just any human, a prince.
Oh, her daddy'll love that.
King Triton's headstrong lovesick girl would make a charming addition to my little garden.
She leers at her collection of terrified worm-like creatures. Back at the palace, in a domed dressing room, King Triton's daughters sit at their mirrors.
Ariel, dear, time to come out. You've been in there all morning.
Ariel appears through a seaweed curtain and admires herself in a mirror.
What is with her lately?
Picking up an orange sea flower, she smells it and swims away, bumping into King Triton.
Oh, morning, Daddy.
Well, she pushes the flower into his hair and spirals dreamily away, leaving her father not knowing what to think.
Oh, she's got it bad.
What? What has she got?
Isn't it obvious, Daddy? Ariel's in love.
He removes the flower.
Ariel?
And smiles at it.
In love?
Elsewhere, Sebastian paces.
Okay, so far, so good. I don't think the king knows.
A yellow petal falls on him.
But it will not be easy keeping something like this a secret for long.
On the rock above him, Ariel plucks a flower.
He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. I knew it!
Ariel, stop talking crazy.
I gotta see him again. Tonight. Scuttle knows where he lives.
Ariel, please. Will you get your head out of the clouds and back in the water where it belongs?
I'll swim up to his castle. Then Flounder will splash around to get his attention, and then
down
we'll go...
Down here is your home. Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we devoting full time to floating under the sea. Down here all the fish is happy, as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy, it's hard cause they in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky, they in for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry,
yes, you go beyond the plate.
But no, under the sea, under the sea, nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us in fricassee. We what the land folks loves to cook. Under the sea, we after hook up. We got no trouble. Life is the bubbles under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea. Since life is sweet here, we got to be here naturally. Even the sturgeon and the ray, did it, the earth start to play. We got the spirit, you got to hear it, under the sea. The lute play, the flute, the cop play, the harp, the bass play, the bass and the sound, the chop, the bass play, the brass, the chop play, the tub. The flute is the duke of soul. The ray, he can play the lings on the strings, the trout knocking out the blackfish. He sings the svelte and the strut, they know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow!
He
sardine, dindy bin bin, use it to me. What do they got? A lot of sand? We got a hot crustacean band. Each little clam here know how to jam here under the sea. Each little slug here cutting a rug here under the sea. Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we in luck here down in the muck here under the sea.
Singing fish bow to Ariel's empty rock.
Ariel?
She's gone off with Flounder. The fishes drift away.
Oh, somebody's got to nail that girl's fins to the floor.
Sebastian!
It's the tiny seahorse.
Sebastian, I've been looking all over for you. I've got an urgent message from the Sea King.
The Sea King?
He wants to see you right away. Something about Ariel.
He knows.
Hey, let's see now. Oh, who could the lucky merman be?
On his throne, Triton twirls the orange flower. Sebastian appears at the threshold.
Come in, Sebastian.
I mustn't overreact. I must remain calm.
He scuttles down the long ramp towards the foot of Triton's throne.
Yes!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Sebastian, I'm concerned about Ariel. Have you noticed she's been acting peculiar lately?
Peculiar?
You know, mooning about, daydreaming, singing to herself. You haven't noticed,
hmm? Oh, well, I...
Sebastian.
Triton beckons him with a large finger.
I know you've been keeping something from me.
Keeping something?
About Ariel?
Sebastian's claws shake.
Ariel?
In love?
I tried to stop her, sir! She wouldn't listen! I told her to stay away from humans! They are bad! They are trouble!
Humans?
What about humans?
Sebastian clings to his beard.
Humans?
He starts backing off.
Who said anything about humans?
Triton grabs him in his fist.
Flounder, why can't you just tell me what this is all about?
You'll see. It's a surprise.
Flounder's brought Ariel to her treasure trove.
Oh.
Eric's statue is there.
Flounder.
She twirls him in a hug.
Flounder, you're the best.
Then takes a closer look at Eric.
It looks just like him. It even has his eyes.
She snuggles her head on its shoulder.
Why, Eric, run away with you? This is all so sudden.
She spins in delight. A dark face glowers at her. Sebastian appears anxiously from a rock. Flounder peeps from behind a treasure chest.
I consider myself a reasonable merman. I set certain rules, and I expect those rules to be obeyed.
But, Daddy,
is it true you rescued a human from drowning?
Daddy, I had to.
Contact between the human world and the merworld is strictly forbidden. Ariel, you know that. Everyone knows that.
He would have died.
One less human to worry about.
You don't even know him.
Know him? I don't have to know him. They're all the same. Spineless, savage, harpooning fish eaters. Incapable of any feeling.
Daddy, I love him!
She cowers behind Eric's statue.
No. Have you lost your senses completely? He's a human. You're a mermaid.
I don't care.
So help me, Ariel. I am going to get through to you. And if this is the only way, so be it.
His trident glows. One by one, her treasures shatter.
No! No! Please! Daddy, stop! Daddy, stop it!
He's about to destroy the statue. She flings herself at him.
Daddy, no!
The statue's gone. She throws herself on the ground and buries her face in her arms. Triton looks at her uneasily, then slopes away. Flounder and Sebastian, shocked and saddened, cautiously approach the little mermaid.
Ariel,
just go away.
Sebastian blinks, but turns and sadly scuttles off. Flounder reluctantly follows, leaving Ariel lying across the rock where Eric's statue stood, her little shoulders heaving, surrounded by scattered ruins of her treasure. The evil eels are watching. They grin and swim around her.
Poor child.
poor sweet child. She has a very serious problem. If only there was something we could do. But there is something.
She sits up and looks at them, wiping away a tear.
Who are you?
Don't be scared. We represent someone who can help you. Someone who can make all your dreams come true. Just imagine you and your prince together forever.
I don't understand.
Ursula has great powers.
She backs away.
The Sea Witch? Why, that's... I couldn't possibly. No! Get out of here! Leave me alone!
Suit yourself.
They slither away.
That was only a suggestion.
One of them flicks a fragment of statue towards her, Eric's face. Tenderly, she picks it up and looks at it.
Wait!
Yes?
Outside the cavern.
Poor Ariel.
I didn't mean to tell. It was an accident.
Ariel passes. Swimming with the eels, he goes to her.
Ariel, where are you going? Ariel, what are you doing here with this riffraff?
I'm going to see Ursula.
He grabs her tail.
Ariel, no! No, she's a demon! She's a monster!
Why don't you go tell my father? You're good at that.
She speeds away.
But I...
Flounder swims up. Sebastian turns to him.
Come on!
They follow her. The eels lead Ariel towards the skeleton of a giant fish, lit up from inside by a ghastly pink glow. Ariel falters as the eels approach the open, sharp-fanged mouth of the skeleton fish. They turn to her and grin.
This way.
She swims after them, nervously down the pink-ribbed gullet, through undulating seaweed, past hundreds of worm-like creatures with haunted eyes and gaping jaws, Ursula's collection of poor, unfortunate souls. One grabs at her. She pulls herself free.
Come in. Come in, my child. We mustn't lurk in doorways. It's rude. One might question your upbringing.
Ursula preens herself at a mirror.
Now, then, you're here because you have a thing for this human, this prince fellow. Not that I blame you. He is quite a catch, isn't he?
She squeezes a cockle.
Well, angelfish.
The blood is her lipstick.
The solution to your problem is simple. The only way to get what you want is to become a human yourself.
Can you do that?
My dear, sweet child, that's what I do. It's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. True, yes. And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed. Pathetic. Poor, unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor, unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying, spells, Ursula, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now, it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls. Now, here's the deal. I will make you a potion that will turn you into a human for 3 days. Got that? 3 days. Now listen, this is important. Before the sun sets on the third day, you've got to get dear old Princey to fall in love with you. That is, he's got to kiss you. Not just any kiss. The kiss of true love. If he does kiss you before the sun sets on the third day, you'll remain human
permanently.
But if he doesn't, you turn back into a mermaid, and you belong to me.
No, Ariel!
Have we got a deal?
If I become human, I'll never be with my father or sisters again.
That's right. But you'll have your man. Life's full of tough choices, isn't it? Oh, and there is one more thing. We haven't discussed the subject of payment. You can't get something for nothing, you know.
But I don't have
it. I'm not asking much. Just a token, really, a trifle. You'll never even miss it. What I want from you is your voice.
My voice?
You've got it, sweet cakes. No more talking, singing, zip.
But without my voice, how can I...
You'll have your looks, your pretty face. And don't underestimate the importance of body language. Ha! The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle prattle for? Come on, they're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. But they don't in swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets a man. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead, make your choice. I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. You poor unfortunate soul. It's sad, but true. If you want to cross a bridge, my sweet, you've got to pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath and go ahead and sign the scroll. Flotsam jetsam, now I've got her, boys. The boss is on a roll. This poor, unfortunate soul.
Ariel signed the scroll.
Aluga, Savruga, come winds of the Caspian Sea. Rhesus, glossitis, neck, laryngitis, la voce to me. Now sing.
A glow appears at Ariel's throat.
Keep singing!
Green ghostly hands summoned up by the witch reach into Ariel's open mouth, dragging out the glowing orb, her golden voice. Ariel watches dumbfounded as her voice is drawn towards Ursula and sucked into a shell on the witch's necklace. Ariel is caught in an orange bubble. Flounder and Sebastian look on in horror as her tail fins split to form human legs. The bubble bursts. Ariel, no longer a mermaid, cannot breathe and flails her legs and arms. Flounder and Sebastian rush to her, each taking an arm, and drag her through the skeleton roof, up through the fathoms of water till she breaks through the surface to air. The fish and the crab support the human girl as they make for the distant shore. At a rocky inlet, the prince sits with Max by the water's edge under a castle tower, playing a pipe. As he rises, Max leaps up.
That voice. I can't get it out of my head. I've looked everywhere, Max. Where could she be?
Flounder and Sebastian crawl ashore, exhausted. In the shallows, Ariel comes to, brushing wet hair from her face and gives a start. Her knees are poking through the water. She lifts a leg and stares at her toes, then smiles in wide-eyed delight, wiggling them.
Well, look at what the catfish dragged in.
Scuttle swoops down and perches on her leg.
Look at you. Look at you. There's something different. Don't tell me. I got it. It's your hairdo, right? You've been using a dinglehopper, right?
Smiling, Ariel shakes her head.
No, huh? Well, let me see. New seashells?
She waggles her leg.
No new seashells. I gotta admit, I can't put my foot on it right now, but if I just stand here long enough, I know
she's
that
got legs, you idiot! She traded her vice to the sea witch and got legs. Jeez, man.
I knew that.
Ariel's been turned into a human. She's gonna make the prince fall in love with her, and he's gonna kiss her.
And she's only got 3 days.
Ariel stands, but her legs give way.
Just look at her! On legs! On human legs! My nerves are shot! This is a catastrophe! What would our father say? I'll tell you what our father'd say. He'd say he's gonna kill himself a crab! That's what our father'd say! I'm gonna march myself straight home right now and tell him just like I could have done the minute. And don't you shake your head at me, young lady. Maybe there's still time. If we could get that witch to give you back your voice, you could go home with all the normal fish and just be...
She blinks down at him.
Just be...
She's crestfallen.
Just be miserable for the rest of your life.
Chin on claw, he shakes his head.
All right. I'll try to help you find that prince.
She smiles ecstatically and kisses him.
Bye. What a soft shell I'm turning out to be.
Now, Ariel, I'm telling you, if you want to be a human, the first thing you gotta do is dress like one. Now, let me see.
He picks up sailcloth and rope. Meanwhile, Eric walks sadly along the shore. Max catches a familiar scent.
Max?
He leaps up and down.
What? Huh?
And bounds away.
Max!
Scuttle whistles at Ariel.
You look great, kid. You look sensational.
She's in a sailcloth dress. Flounder dives as Max bounds up. Sebastian hides in Ariel's pocket as Max chases Ariel onto a rock. Max leaps at her and gives her a friendly lick. She smiles.
Max!
She sees the prince. Max runs to him.
Max!
And glances back at Ariel.
Quiet, Max!
Max tugs at his boot.
What's gotten into you, fella? Oh.
He sees Ariel.
Oh, I see.
As he walks towards her, she puts her hair over one shoulder and smiles winningly.
Are you okay, miss? I'm sorry if this knucklehead scared you. He's harmless, really.
She leans towards him, their faces close. She blinks and smiles.
You seem very familiar to me.
He narrows his eyes at her.
Have we met?
She nods. He grabs her hands.
We have met. I knew it. You're the one. The one I've been looking for. What's your name?
She tries to speak, but nothing comes.
What's wrong? What is it?
She pats her throat.
You can't speak?
He touches her arm. She shakes her head.
Oh.
He withdraws his arm.
Oh. And you couldn't be who I thought.
Max sighs. Ariel sighs. Then she has an idea and waves her hands at him.
What is it?
She mimes singing.
You're hurt?
She mimes swimming.
No, you need help.
She loses her balance. He catches
her.
Whoa,
careful. Careful, easy.
She's in his arms. Their face is close again.
Gee, you must have really been through something. Don't worry, I'll help you.
He leads her away.
Come on, you'll be okay.
She throws a smile back at her friends. Later, her dress flung on a rail, she's tended by a portly housekeeper and soaks in a luxurious bubble bath.
Washed up from a shipwreck. Oh, the poor thing. We'll have you feeling better in no time.
She grabs the dress, Sebastian in the pocket.
I'll just get this washed for you.
He's thrown into the wash tub and thoroughly laundered.
Well, you must have at least heard about this girl.
No.
Gertrude said it.
Yeah.
Gertrude ever gotten anything right.
I mean, really.
Madam.
This girl shows up in rags and doesn't speak. That's my idea of a princess. If Eric's looking for a girl, I know a couple of highly available ones right here.
Hung out to dry, Sebastian jumps from the line into a room where he sees cooking fish. Stuffed crab. He falls in a faint.
Oh, Eric, be reasonable. Nice young ladies, just don't swim around rescuing people in the middle of the ocean and then flitter off into oblivion like some...
I'm telling you, Grim, she was real. I'm gonna find that girl. And I'm gonna marry her.
Come on, honey. Don't be shy.
The housekeeper brings Ariel to the dining hall where Eric and Grimsby have been talking. Dressed in a pink ball gown, she walks towards them.
Oh, Eric, isn't she a vision?
He gazes, smitten.
You look wonderful.
She nods graciously.
Come, you must be famished. Let me help you, my dear.
Grimsby walks her to the table.
There we go. That's better. Oh, quite comfy. It's not often that we have such a lovely dinner guest, Eric?
She picks up a fork and happily combs her hair with it. Eric raises an eyebrow. Grimsby blinks. She hurriedly puts the fork back, embarrassed. Grimsby lights a pipe and puffs. Her eyes light up.
Do you like it?
She takes the pipe and...
It is rather fine.
He glows. His face is black.
Oh, my.
So sorry, Grim.
Why, Eric, that's the first time I've seen you smile in weeks.
Very amusing.
He cleans his face with a hanky.
Carlotta, my dear, what's for dinner?
Oh, you're gonna love it. Chef's been fixing his specialty, stuffed crab.
Sebastian looks on in horror as the chef prepares the fish.
Nouvelle cuisine, l'Enchant-Élysée, Maurice Les... Poissons, how I love les poissons! Love to chop and to serve little fish. First I cut off their heads and I pull out their bones. Ah, mais oui, ça c'est toujours délish. Les poissons, with a cleaver I hack them in two. I pull out what's inside and I serve it outside. God, I love little fishes, don't you? Here's something for tempting the palate. Prepared in the classic technique. First you pound the fish flat with a mallet. Then you slash through the skin, give the belly a slice. Then you rub some salt in, cause that makes it taste nice. Zut alors, I have missed one.
He picks up Sebastian.
Sacrebleu, what is this? How on earth could I miss such a sweet little succulent crab? Quel dommage, what a loss. Here we go, in the sauce. Now some flour, I think, just enough. Now I'll stuff you with bread. It don't hurt, cause you're dead. And you're certainly lucky you are. Cause it's gonna be a hot in magic silver pot. Toodaloo, au poisson, au revoir.
Sebastian jumps out of the pot, onto the table. The chef picks him up in a fork and peers close.
What is this?
Sebastian pinches the chef's nose and drops onto a handle of a simmering pan. The chef reaches for him but grabs a hot plate. The pan falls onto his foot. He throws sharp knives at the crab. Sebastian drops a dish on him. Enraged, the chef raises a cleaver and splits a table in half. Sebastian runs, chased by a chef. Back in the dining hall.
I think I'd better go see what Louis is up to.
The kitchen's a mess.
Come out, you little pipsqueak, and fight like a man!
Louis!
Sebastian's hiding in a dish.
What are you doing?
No, I was just, I'm sorry, madame.
She takes the dish to the dining table.
You know, Eric, perhaps our young guest might enjoy seeing some of the sights of the kingdom. Something in the way of a tour.
Eric is gazing at Ariel.
I'm sorry, Grim. What was that?
You can't spend all your time moping about. You need to get out. Do something. Have a life.
Shh.
Get your mind off.
Easy, Grim. Easy. It's not a bad idea.
Sebastian hides.
If she's interested.
In Ariel's dish.
Well, what do you say? Would you like to join me on a tour of my kingdom tomorrow?
Ariel nods.
Wonderful. Now, let's eat before this crab wanders off my plate.
Sebastian already has. Later that night, Ariel gazes longingly from the window of her room down to the castle battlements where Eric plays with Max. She sighs delightedly as Max licks Eric's face. Eric glances up at her and waves. Shyly, she waves back and retreats to her bedroom where Sebastian is removing a lettuce leaf from his shell. She combs her long tresses with a fork, smiling to herself.
This has got to be, without a doubt, the single most humiliating day of my life.
She puts down the fork.
I hope that you appreciate what I go through for you, young lady.
She sinks into the bed.
Now, we got to make a plan to get that boy to kiss you. Tomorrow, when he takes you for that ride, you gotta look your best. You gotta botch your eyes like this. You gotta puckle up your lips like this.
But Ariel is already asleep. Head snuggled in the soft pillow, he shrugs his shoulders, blows out the candle, and scuttles onto the pillow to stroke her forehead.
You are hopeless, child. You know that.
He snuggles down next to her.
Completely hopeless.
Meanwhile, under the sea, a tiny seahorse swims rapidly towards the palace where King Triton gazes forlornly out of a large round window.
Any sign of them?
No, Your Majesty. We've searched everywhere. We've found no trace of your daughter or Sebastian.
Well, keep looking. Leave no shell unturned, no coral unexplored. Let no one in this kingdom sleep until she's safe at home.
Yes, sire.
The seahorse bows and gravely swims away.
Oh, what have I done? What have I done?
Early next morning, in an open horse-drawn carriage, Eric and Ariel set off towards town through the tall wooden gates of the castle. Ariel points excitedly at the towers and steeples on the hill beyond. Suddenly, she's hanging off the back, peering in fascination at the horse's galloping hooves. They enter the town over a stone bridge by a canal. Flounder leaps beside them through the water and shouts up at Sebastian, who's also in the carriage.
Have you kissed her yet?
Not yet.
People throng the town square as Eric helps Ariel down from the carriage. She grabs in delight at Punch and Judy puppets and pulls Punch away from the operator's hand. Excitedly, she drags Eric through the crowds. They dance gracefully among other dancing couples. He twirls her around, bows, then sweeps her into the air. Later, as they leave town across another bridge, Scuttle swoops down.
Yo, Flounder, any kissing?
No, not yet.
Well, they better get cracking.
Eric and Ariel head for the countryside, smiling. He offers her the reins. She takes them and cracks them enthusiastically. The horse gallops wildly. The carriage bounces over rough terrain. She's enjoying it. Eric is terrified. They're heading towards a ravine. The carriage just makes it to the other side. Ariel drives on. Eric, realizing they're safe, settles back and whistles as they head towards a lagoon. Later, as the sun sets, Eric rows Ariel in a boat.
Move over. Move your big feathers. I can't see a thing.
Nothing is happening.
Only one day left.
And that boy ain't puckered up once. Okay. All right, this calls for a little vocal romantic stimulation. Stand back.
Scuttle lands on a branch near the boat.
Wow. Somebody should find that poor animal and put it out of its misery.
Ariel looks up at Scuttle, who makes an okay sign with his feather tips. She cringes.
Jeez, Mum, I'm surrounded by amateurs.
Sebastian frowns and breaks off a reed for a baton.
You want something done, you've got to do it yourself. First, we've got to create the mood.
He orchestrates the wildlife around him.
Percussion. Strings. Winds. Words.
Then sings into Eric's ear.
There you see her. Sitting there across the way. She don't got a lot to say, but there's something about her. And you don't know why, but you're dying to try. You wanna kiss the girl.
Did you hear something?
She shakes her head and smiles.
Yes, you want her. Look at her, you know you do. Possible she wants you to. There is one way to ask her. It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl. Sing with me now. Sha la 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 la, my oh my, look like a boy too shy, ain't gonna kiss the girl. Sha la 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 la, ain't that sad, ain't it a shame? Too bad, he gonna miss the girl.
You know, I feel really bad not knowing your name. Maybe I could guess. Is it, Mildred?
She pulls a face.
Okay, no. How about Diana? Rachel?
Ariel. Her name is Ariel.
Ariel?
She nods, smiling.
Ariel?
She grabs his hand.
Well, that's kind of pretty. Okay. Ariel?
He puts his hand on hers.
Now's your moment. Floating in a blue lagoon. But you better do it soon. No time will be better. She don't say a word, and she won't say a word until you kiss the girl. Sha la 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 la, don't be scared. You got the moves right there. Go on and kiss the girl. Sha la 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 la, don't stop now. Don't try to hide it out. You wanna kiss the girl. Sha la 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 la, float along and listen to the song.
Their lips are just about to meet when the boat overturns.
Whoa, hang on. I've got you.
The eels surface nearby. Ursula watches in her cave.
Nice work, boys. That was a close one. Too close.
The little tramp! Oh, she's better than I thought. At this rate, he'll be kissing her by sunset for sure. Well, it's time Ursula took matters into her own tentacles. Triton's daughter will be mine. And then I'll make him writhe. I'll see him wriggle like a worm on a hook.
Grasping the glowing shell with Ariel's voice in it, she transforms into a human beauty. The full moon silhouettes the battlements where Eric stands, one foot on the wall, wistfully playing his pipe. His cloak and black hair move in the breeze. Grimsby approaches cautiously.
Eric, if I may say, far better than any dream girl is one of flesh and blood. One warm and caring and right before your eyes.
Eric looks up to Ariel's lighted window and glimpses her combing her hair with the fork. He smiles to himself, then shuts his eyes with a frown. He looks down at the pipe in his hand, then steps back decisively from the low wall and flings the instrument far out into the sea. He turns to Ariel's window again and walks resolutely towards it. He stops and runs back to peer over the battlements. He stares intently at a shadowy figure in a long gown walking towards the castle along the shore. Her cape and long black hair flap in the breeze. There's a glowing shell at her neck. Eric's eyes widen. A golden mist passes over his face and his eyes shine with the shell's reflected light. Next morning, Scuttle flies into Ariel's bedroom.
Ariel! Ariel, wake up! Wake up! I just heard the news! Congratulations, kiddo! We did it!
What is this idiot babbling about?
Right, as if you two didn't know, huh? The whole town's buzzing about the prince getting himself hitched this afternoon! You know, he's getting married. You silly sidewalker! I just wanted to wish you luck. I'll catch you later. I wouldn't miss it.
Scuttle flies out of the window. Ariel thinks for a moment, then her eyes light up. She twirls around ecstatically with Sebastian, giving him a kiss. Pausing to arrange her hair in the mirror, she runs happily out of the door and down the broad staircase to the foyer. Her smile fades as she sees Eric arm in arm with a woman.
Well, Eric, it appears that I was mistaken. This mystery maiden of yours does, in fact, exist. And she is lovely. Congratulations, my dear.
We wish to be married as soon as possible.
Oh, yes, of course, Eric, but these things do take time, you know.
This afternoon, Grimsby. The wedding ship departs at sunset.
Oh, very well, Eric. As you wish.
Reeling with disbelief, Ariel dashes away, sobbing. Seeing her go, the woman smiles cruelly and fingers the glowing shell at her neck. The wedding ship, thronged with guests, glides from the castle wharf towards the orange of the setting sun. Ariel emerges from behind a festive column and watches the ship as it moves away, falling back against the column, her shoulders heaving with grief. She slumps down, burying her face in her arms. Sebastian scuttles close and looks up at her with concern, then sadly rests his chin on his claws. Ariel lifts her head. A large tear rolls down her cheek into the water below, creating a ripple which brushes against Flounder, who is crying too. The ship is a distant silhouette against the sinking sun. Scuttle swoops down and peeps through a porthole.
Rum dum, ra dum dum.
What a lovely little bride I'll make my dear all of divine.
He sees the bride preening at the dressing table.
Things are working out according to my ultimate design.
She hurls a hairpin at the mirror frame.
Soon I'll have that little mermaid and the ocean will be mine.
She climbs onto the dressing table. Her reflection is not her, but a grotesque white-haired ogre.
The sea witch.
Oh, no. She's gonna... I got it.
He smacks into the ship.
Ariel! Ariel!
Then flaps back to the wharf.
Ariel, I was flying. Of course I was flying. I saw the watch. The witch was watching a mirror, and she was singing with a stolen set of pipes.
Do you hear what I'm telling you?
The prince is marrying the sea witch in disguise.
Are you sure about this?
Have I ever been wrong? I mean, when it's important.
What are we going to do?
Ariel stares at the distant ship.
For the sun sets on the third day.
She dives into the water. But she can't swim. Sebastian releases a pile of barrels into the water.
Ariel, grab onto that! Flounder, get onto that boat as fast as your fins can carry you.
I'll try.
I gotta get to the Sea King. He must know about this.
What about me? What about me?
You find a way to stall that wedding!
Stall the wedding? What am I? What?
That's it!
The seagull takes off towards the lagoon, calling all bluebirds, pelicans, frogs, dolphins, seals.
Move it! Let's go! We got an emergency here!
They make for the ship at full pelt. Eric and the disguised witch walk down the aisle of the ship's deck. They pass Max. She kicks at him as they approach the altar and the priest.
Dearly beloved.
Flounder tugs Ariel's barrel through the water.
Don't worry, Ariel. We're gonna make it. We're almost there.
Yes. Do you, Eric, take witness to be your lawfully wedded wife for as long as you both shall live?
I do.
The sun is almost set.
Do you?
A flock of bluebirds, led by Scuttle, swarm out of the sky at the witch. She covers her head with her hands. They swoop back again and fly between her legs. Max enjoys the chaos as seals flop onto the deck and she's attacked by pelicans, a lobster, and starfish.
Begin by the power.
Get away from me, you slimy little...
Seals bounce the witch in the air as Flounder brings Ariel to the ship. Ariel climbs to the deck and sees the witch falling on the wedding cake. A trio of dolphins spray the witch clean. Scuttle bellows at her. She grabs him.
Oh, why, you little...
He pulls at her shell necklace. Max bites her bottom. The shell smashes at Ariel's feet, releasing a golden mist. Her voice. Eric's baffled. The wedding crown stares, and the witch is horrified as the glow spirals into Ariel's throat.
Ariel?
Eric!
You can talk.
He runs to her and clasps her hand.
You're the one.
Eric, get away from her!
It was you all the time.
Oh, Eric, I wanted to tell you.
Eric, no!
They're about to kiss. The sun sets.
You're too late!
Ariel collapses, a helpless mermaid.
You're too late!
The witch bursts from her dress, half octopus again. She crawls towards Ariel and grabs her with a tentacle.
So long, love boy.
Ariel!
She pulls her into the sea.
Oh, little princess, it's not you I'm after. I've a much bigger fish to...
Ursula, stop!
King Triton and Sebastian.
Why, King Triton? How are you?
Let her go.
Not a chance, Triton. She's mine now. We made a deal.
Daddy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
His trident has no effect on the scroll.
You see? The contract's legal, binding, and completely unbreakable. Even for you. Of course, I always was a girl with an eye for a bargain. The daughter of the great Sea King is a very precious commodity. I might be willing to make an exchange for someone even better.
Eric's rowing a boat from the ship.
Eric, what are you doing?
Grim, I lost her once. I'm not gonna lose her again.
Now, do we have a deal?
The king frowns and signs the scroll.
It's done then!
He's bound in a golden swirl of light.
No! Oh, no!
At the surface, lifting a harpoon, Eric sees the glow. Triton's crown sinks to the ocean floor. Out of it crawls a pitiful, shriveled soul.
Your Majesty.
Daddy?
At last.
She grabs the crown.
It's mine.
And places it on her head. She grabs the glowing trident. Ariel stares at her shriveled father. And dives at the witch.
You monster!
Don't fool with me, you little brat! Contractor, no!
Eric has slashed her arm.
Why, you little fool!
Eric, look out!
After him!
Pursued by the eels, Eric swims up to his boat. He grabs the side, but is dragged back under. Flounder and Sebastian race to his aid.
Come on!
Sebastian pinches a tail. Flounder slaps a face. Eric drifts free.
Say goodbye to your sweetheart.
She aims, but Ariel lunges. A bolt of energy hits the eels. obliterating them.
Babies! My poor little poopsies.
Grasping the glowing trident, Ursula puffs herself larger on clouds of black ink. Sebastian and Flounder shake as she grows ever huger. At the surface, Eric swims to Ariel and holds her.
Eric, you've got to get away from here!
No, I won't leave you!
The sea quakes beneath them. An enormous crown emerges. They're caught on it, on the head of the giant witch who keeps on growing. She towers into the air. They leap back into the sea and, grabbing each other tight, look up in dismay as the witch rises hundreds of feet above them. Her massive tentacles flail around her.
You pitiful, insignificant fool!
Look out!
A tentacle crashes down close by.
Now I am the ruler of all the ocean! The waves obey my every whim!
A giant wave rises up. He's sucked away and is flung far from her.
The sea and all its spoils bow to my power!
Ursula swirls the glowing trident in the water, creating a powerful whirlpool which sucks the many shipwrecks off the ocean floor and up to the surface. Ariel dives for safety and clings to a rock. A ship with jagged-edged mast, buffeted by the waves, is about to crash down on Eric, who's swimming for his life. He vanishes beneath it.
Eric!
Drifting under the hull, he grabs a dangling rope and pulls himself out of the water. And onto the slimy deck. Ariel still clinging to her rock. Ursula aims the trident at her. The rock shatters. Ariel drops down the whirlpool's tunnel to the ocean floor. Looking upward through the tunnel of swirling water, she can see the witch grinning wickedly and aiming the trident. Eric races towards the ship's bridge, grabs the wheel, steers the ship with its jagged, broken mast directly towards the witch.
So much for true love!
She turns and sees the ship coming at her. The jagged mast rams into her massive belly. Lightning crackles through her impaled body. She sinks into the ocean. As she takes the ship down with her, Eric dives for safety. Eric crawls ashore and slumps onto the sand. As the trident plummets down to Ursula's domain, poor shriveled souls turn back into mermen and mermaids. Freed from her spell, they swim away. Even King Triton bursts into life. He picks up his trident and grins. Later on the shore, Eric rolls onto his back, still groggy. From a rock in the shallows, Ariel gazes at him, forlorn and sighing. Further off, King Triton and Sebastian look on, touched and amazed.
She really does love him, doesn't she, Sebastian?
Well, it's like I always say, Your Majesty. Children got to be free to lead their own lives.
You always say that? Oh. Then I guess there's just one problem left.
And what's that, Your Majesty?
How much I'm going to miss her.
He touches the water with his trident. The glow ripples towards Ariel. She looks down, her face lights up. She smiles at her father. Trident returns a wistful, loving look. On the shore, Eric sits up, rubs his head and sees Ariel emerging from the water in a sparkling blue dress, human again, walking towards him. He runs to her, spins her round. They kiss. Now they're on the wedding ship, married. Max licks their faces. Wedding guests cheer. Grimsby smiles. Carlotta howls. Merpeople and Ariel's sisters wave from the water. King Triton blinks back tears. Scuttle flaps up to deck level, lifting Flounder with his feet. Ariel kisses Flounder and ruffles Scuttle's feathers affectionately. Sebastian looks on happily until Louis chases him with a cleaver. Sebastian stops under a wooden boom. As Louis comes for him, Sebastian snips the boom rope, hitting the chef in the face. Teeth fall out. Louis falls back. Sebastian joins Scuttle and Flounder in the water.
Yes. Thank you.
Ariel smiles down tenderly from the ship at her father, who magics a wave to lift himself to deck level. They gaze, then hug, her arms round his neck, eyes closed.
I love you, Daddy.
Now we can walk, now we can run, now we can stay all day in the sun.
Eric bows to the king, who nods approvingly, then caresses Ariel's face and returns to the sea. Ariel blows him a kiss and smiles. Arm in arm, the lovers wave. The king swings his trident and creates a rainbow. The ship sails away under the rainbow as Triton and the merpeople, Sebastian and Flounder, wave goodbye. Eric and Ariel gaze lovingly at each other and kiss. Audio description by David Banks. Narration by Patricia Jones. Sound engineer Adam Knowles. Directing animators: Mark Henn, Glenn Keane, Duncan Marjorie Banks, Ruben Aquino, Andreas Deja, Matthew O'Callaghan. Art direction: Michael A. Peraza Jr., Donald A. Towns. Visual effects supervisor: Mark Dindal. Associate producer: Maureen Donnelly. Supervising editor: John Carnican. Storyboards: Roger Allers, Gary Trousdale, Matthew O'Callaghan, Brenda Chapman, Ed Gombert, Tom Enriquez, Joe Ranft. Character animators: Michael Sedino, Rick Farmelo, Sean E. Keller, David Pruixma, Dan York, Jay Jackson, Barry Temple, James Baxter, Kathy Zielinski, Jorgen Klublein, Will Finn, Doug Krohn, Leon Jusen, Russ Edmonds, David P. Stefan. Character animators: Phil Young, Anthony DeRosa, David Cutler, Nick Ranieri, Dave Spafford, Chris Bailey, Tony Fucile, Chris Wall, Chuck Harvey, Tom Sito, Ellen Woodbury, Ron Husband, David A. Pacheco, Tony Anselmo, Rob Minkoff. Layout supervisor: David A. Dunnett. Layout: Rasul Azadani, Fred Klein, Lorenzo E. Martinez, Daniel St-Pierre, Bill Perkins, James Bellhold. Background supervisor: Donald A. Towns. Backgrounds: Jim Coleman, Brian Serburn, Robert Edward Stanton, Christy Maltese, Doug Ball, Greg Drolet, Tia Kratter, Lisa L. Keane, Philip Phillipson, Andrew Richard Phillipson, Dean Gordon, Craig Robertson, Kathy Altieri, Dennis Durrell. Effects animators: Dorsa A. Lamfer, Randall Fulmer, Mark Meyer, Dave Bossett, Jeff Howard, Christine Harding, Ted C. Kearsey, Don Paul, Kelvin Yasuda, Glenn Cholka, Barry Cook, Chris Jenkins, Eusebio Torres. Character keys: Martin Korth, Richard Hopp, Dave Sudding, Rene Holt, Tom Ferreter, Stephen Zupkas, Wesley Chun, Betty Isis Baker, Bill Berg, Brian Clift, Chuck Williams, Emily Giuliano, Lou Della Rosa, Gilda Palinginis, Laurie M. Noda, Dory Little Herrick, Margaret Flores Nichol, Vera Lamfer, June M. Fujimoto, Laureline Weatherly, Philo Barnhart, Jesus Cortes, Gail Frank, Dorothea Baker, Cindy Whitney. Color model supervisor: Elreen Cowan. Animation checking supervisor: Janet Bruce. Scene planning supervisor: Rick Sullivan. Ink and paint manager: Gretchen Mashmeyer Albrecht. Xerographic camera supervisor: Bill Brasner. Xerographic check inking supervisor: Carmen Sanderson. Final check supervisor: Hortensia Cassegrain. Based on the fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen. Featuring the voice talent in alphabetical order: Louis, René Auberjonois. Eric, Christopher Daniel Barnes. Ariel, Jody Benson. Ursula, Pat Carroll. Flotsam and Jetsam, Paddy Edwards. Scuttle, Buddy Hackett. Flounder, Jason Marin. Triton, Kenneth Mars. Carlotta, Edie McClurg. Seahorse, Will Ryan. Grimsby, Ben Wright. Sebastian, Samuel L. Wright. Animating assistants: Humberto de la Fuente, G. Fui Boedo, Carol Holliday, Arland Barron. Layout assistants: Mark Kalasnico, Fred Craig, Mark S. Christiansen, Jennifer Chiao Lin Huan, Mac George, Rene Garcia, Dan McHugh, Roxy Stephen. Assistant effects animators: Dan Chalka, Alan Blythe, Mabel Gesner, Craig Little Herrick, Steve Starr, Mark Barrows, Margaret Craig Chang, Tom Hush, Mike Nguyen, Alan Stovall, John Tucker. Computer animation, Tina Price, Andrew Schmidt. Computer animation engineer, Mary Jane Turner. Airbrush, John Emerson, Bill Arents. Effects graphics, Bernie Galliano. Color modelists, Cindy Finn, Christina Stocks, Brigitte Strother, Linda Weber. Color model painters, Betsy Ergenbright, Carolyn Gusk, Linda McCall. Color model development, Barbara McCormack, Jill Sturdivant. Production manager, Maureen Donnelly. Camera manager, Joe Giuliano. Production coordinator, Brett Hayden. Effects coordinator, Jonathan Yona Levitt. Script supervisor, Nancy Parent. Video shooter, Gregory Hind. Editor, Mark Hester. Assistant director, Michael Sarian. First assistant editors, Bill Wilner, Barbara Geraghty. Scene planning, Dave Thompson, Anne Tucker. Character design, Dan Haskett, Chris Buck, Kevin Lima, Ed Gombert, Glenn Keane, Andreas Deja, Philo Barnhart. Character sculptures, Ruben Procopio. Visual development, Bruce Morris, Andy Gaskill, Chris Van Allsburg, Gary Eggleston, Kelly A. Asprey, Roland B. Wilson, A. Kendall O'Connor, Doug LaFire, K. Nielsen. Main and end titles designed by Saxon Ross Film Design. Ink and paint assistant manager, Chris Hecox. Additional voices, Hamilton Camp, Ed Gilbert, Susan Boyd, Philip Clark, Gail Farrell, Willie Green Jr., Philip Ingram, Edie Lehman, Melissa McKay, Arnie B. Markison, Lewis Morford, Marilyn Powell, Sally Stevens, Joe Turano, Debbie Shapiro, Charlie Adler, Steve Boulin, Jennifer Darling, Donnie Gerard, Linda Harmon, Luana Jackman, Anne Lockhart, Guy Maeder, Mickey T. McGowan, Kathleen O'Connor, Gloria G. Prosper, Robert Thibault, Jackie Ward, Robert S. Zwim, Robert Vile, Jack Angel, Nancy Cartwright, Alan Davies, Mitch Gordon, Walter S. Hara, William A. Kennedy, Sherry Lynn, Lynn Dolan Mann, Jean J. Merlino, Patrick Pinney, Michael Redman Jr., Rob Tro, Bobby White. Additional dialogue, Howard Ashman, Gerrit Graham, Samuel Grain, and Chris Hubble. Casting by Mary V. Buck, CSA, and Susan Edelman, CSA. Songs produced by Howard Ashman, Alan Menken, and Robert Kraft. Songs arranged by Robbie Merkin and Alan Menken. Supervising music editor, Kathleen Bennett. Music editing, Segway Music. Music scoring mixer, John Richards. Original score recorded and mixed at Evergreen Studios. Orchestrations by Thomas Passatieri. Orchestra conducted by J.A.C. Redford. Supervising sound editors, Richard C. Franklin, Jr. Louis L. Edelman. Sound editors, Charles L. Campbell, P. Bruce Richardson, Neil C. Jensen, Leonard T. Gesker, G.C. Chuck Neely, J. Chris Jargo. ADR editor, Larry Singer. Assistant sound editor, Pamela G. Kimber. Processed sound effects, Alan Howarth, Melvin D. Nellman. Foley by T.A.J. Soundworks. Foley artists, John Roish, Ellen Hoer, Joe Sabella. Foley recorded by Greg Orloff. Recordist, Carolyn Tapp. Re-recorded at Buena Vista Sound Studios. Re-recording mixers, Terry Porter, CAS, Mel Metcalf, David J. Hudson. Animation camera, John Cunningham, supervisor, Errol Aubrey, Brandy Hill, Dave Link, Chuck Warren, Ed Austin, John Ardle, Ron Jackson, Ronci Hankt, Chris Beck. Process lab, Joe Parra, John White, Joe Holmes. Special thanks to Albert Tavares, Arlene Schwartz, Lulu Washington. Color by Technicolor. Color timer, Tom Schaffer. Prints by Technicolor. Titles and opticals by Cinema Research Corporation. Dolby Stereo in selected theatres. This picture made under the jurisdiction of IATSE. Motion Picture Association of America, affiliated with AFL-CIO. Copyright 1989, The Walt Disney Company. Soundtrack available on cassette and compact disc from Walt Disney Records. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution Incorporated.